And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to have another volume, a very important volume of secrets. Now, today's volume, the topics are going to sound so crazy that many people will think I made all of this up. I concocted incredible myths. I mean, no reasonable person, no rational person, certainly no person who is of a sound mind, which the Bible says every Christian is of a sound mind. But I must be nuts. I must be crazy. Or else the world has gone insane. Now, I want you to think back to 2,000 years ago when the Jews crucified our Lord Jesus. Why did they do such a thing? I know you say to yourself, you look in the mirror and say, If I had been alive back in those days, I sure would not have done that. I mean, Jesus preached nothing but love. He destroyed nobody. He started no war. He preached, you know, if read the Sermon on the Mount, all the things he said. If somebody wants your one item of clothing, give him another one too. If he, you know, hits you on one cheek, turn the other cheek and say, hit that one too. Don't retaliate. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What a dangerous man he was. And yet, when Pilate said to the crowd of Jews, when he said, I find no fault in this man, they cried out in mass all together, crucify him. Now, the things I tell you today, It strikes me that maybe Pilate felt the same way. He had interviewed Jesus, interrogated him. What he had done actually was tortured Jesus a bit, like we do terrorists, you know. Because George Bush and Dick Cheney and Obama are so sweet and loving, they just torture somebody. They torture them. Sometimes the victim dies, the torture is so extreme, but most of the time, they make it through. Most of the time. So Jesus was tortured. But when he was tortured, then this was always, you know, an indicator of truth. If you've been tortured by the Romans, I suspect you would blab pretty quick. You'd blab everything. You'd tell everything, wouldn't you? So he asked Jesus such questions as, did you say you're a king? Are you a king? Are you king of the Jews? What did you do? And Jesus said, basically, I've done nothing. And Pilate said to him, I'm giving you the shorthand account. He said, surely you've done something. I mean, I didn't bring you here. Your own people, the Jews, brought you here. What have you done? And Jesus didn't answer him. He was mute. Because he had done nothing. I mean, you know, it's like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in one of his books, he said he was in prison, and many of the other prisoners, when they went around asking, what did you do to get here? What did you do to get here? And everyone had a different story, of course. And they asked one person, I think he was sentenced to life in prison. What did you do to get here? Well, I wrote a letter, and they got my letter from the postal service, opened up the envelope and read it. They didn't like what I said. So they gave me life in prison. The court did. And the other prisoner says, I don't believe you. You did something worse than that. To tell the truth, you only get 10 years. To tell the truth, you only get 10 years. You must have said something really bad. Maybe you did tell a lie. You got life in prison. Think about that. To tell the truth, you only get 10 years. Jesus did nothing. It was an insane world that put him to death. Now, actually, Jesus explains in the Bible exactly why they did it. Ah, yes, there is a reason for everything that happened. The Jews wanted to inherit the kingdom. And they said, this is the Son of God. Let's put him to death if we can, and we will have the kingdom for ourselves. That's exactly why they did it. The Sanhedrin knew he was God. They'd heard of the miracles. They'd seen the miracles. They'd gotten the witnesses to come forth. Were you healed? Yes, I was. Are you lying? Surely you're lying. You were healed by this man? Yes, I was. They knew Jesus told the truth. They did not want the Messiah to come. They wanted to be their own Messiah. So they said, kill him, and then we'll be our own Messiah. Oh, yes, they knew. Now, this world is crazy, friends. I want these are examples. For example, first item today in secrets. Remember Al-Qaeda? Remember Al-Qaeda that bombed America? 9/11? Remember Al-Qaeda that was over in Iraq that we went over and fought? Remember they were all around the world? That's why we fought. They said the war against terror will never end because Al-Qaeda is everywhere. Well, now it turns out there really was no Al-Qaeda. And I've got an article here from veteranstoday.com. You might want to go to that sometime and read it because they're pretty accurate in what they say. They're Veterans Today. It says Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups made in USA and Israel. USA and Israel have teamed up to fabricate a group called Al-Qaeda. But Al-Qaeda now has gone the way of the dodo bird. It's extinct now. It's got tiring. People got tired of hearing about Al-Qaeda. So now they got new programs. They got ISIS, ISIL, Al-Nusra. They got so many groups you really don't even know, you don't understand any of them. But people have been coming to me, and it seems like 1,000 investigators have discovered when they burrow back into the rabbit hole. Real investigators, when they burrow back into the rabbit hole, they find that all of these groups were founded by the Israelis and by American money. And if terrorism does exist, we're all nuts. We're fighting terrorism, but we started it and we're funding it right now today. The Israeli regime is the maker of the terrorism that we're fighting. Here's what Jonas Alexis, writer, says. Now, Jonas Alexis has written many books that I've read, an outstanding reporter, researcher, and he's quoting Professor Kevin Barrett, who made the point that ISIL, which is called ISIS, claims to be the Muslim Liberation Movement. They're setting up the Islamic Caliphate. They're battling Iraq. They're battling Iran. They're battling Turkey. They're especially battling Syria. They've taken over about 2/3 of Iraq's property and much of Syria's. They're the sort of the medium line Muslims. They're what you call Sunnis. Now, I don't know how that would, you know, sort of relate in Christian terms. But, you know, they're not hardcore fundamentalists, yet they are pretty hardcore. But they're battling the Shiites. Now, we've all heard the Shiites are evil. That's what Iran is. The Shiite Muslims, oh, they're so evil. They're fundamentalists. So the Sunnis, which is what the caliphate or ISIS is all about, they're all Sunni Muslims. They're battling the Shiites. Now, it seems like we've always been told the Shiites are our enemy. That's where the mullahs and the ayatollahs come from, the Shiites. Now the Shiites are fighting these ISIS boys. Now you would think that we'd be applauding that. Good. Finally, we have somebody fighting the Shiites. ISIS. But ISIS also, it's claimed, is killing the Christians. They're taking people in these orange jumpsuits out to the beach. There's not a day at the beach, friends. They take them there and cut their heads off. And many of them, they claim, are Americans. Now, I don't know where they get the orange jumpsuits. And I don't know where they get all their Toyota trucks. Every time you see them, they're driving down the road, big convoys of Toyotas. I think they got a discount from the, you know, Austin, Texas Toyota Motor Company. Or maybe out in California or something. They're driving the same old Toyota trucks. And all their prisoners are all dressed in orange jumpsuits. They must have got a special on orange jumpsuits, probably from Walmart or Target or somewhere. And they're killing them all, cutting their heads off and so forth, they claim. They especially like to do that to Christians. That's what we're told. Now, it's interesting. They're killing all these Muslims. They're fighting the Muslims. They're fighting the Shiites, our enemies. And we're bombing ISIS. Huh? ISIS is fighting our enemies, other Muslims, and yet we're bombing them. Because they're bad boys who are also killing Christians. But while they have a caliphate, and their territory keeps growing and growing, and their territorial line is only about 10 or 12 miles out of Israel, they never attack the Israelis. They've never done any terrorist acts. They keep claiming they're going to come to America every time. I mean, whoa, ISIS is down in Texas. ISIS has a whole village down in Mexico. Oh, they're everywhere. The ISIS people are the ones we've got to worry about. Yeah, well, they hate America. But now we find out that Israel is supporting them. In fact, the Jerusalem Post recently had an article about Israel is treating all of Al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters. They get wounded in Syria, and they're taken across the border there. Remember, I told you they're only 10 or 12 miles from Israel, and they're treated royally, all their soldiers, and then they go back to war. So Israel is supporting the ISIS team. And yet, we oppose these crazy ISIS people. They're even in America. They're killing us. Remember, they went against the people who were doing the cartoons of Mohammed in Garland, Texas, who were drawing cartoons of Mohammed, and they sent two ISIS terrorists in, and they were both killed, and, oh, we're in a war with ISIS now. But ISIS is fighting our enemies in the Middle East. But ISIS is not fighting the Israelis in the Middle East because they're all pals. It says in the Jerusalem Post, Israel is providing medical treatment to ISIS, to Nusra Front, and Al-Qaeda fighters. What is that all about? When did these terrorist groups become freedom fighters that were supported by Israel? Now, how can Israel support them? Well, Israel gets our money. Let's see now. We give billions to Israel. They build hospitals and have medical assistance and aid that they give to ISIS. And ISIS goes out and kills other Muslims for us. But yet we hate ISIS too. And there's all these other groups out there. And Israel is supporting them all. But they never attack Israel. They didn't do it in 9-1-1. Nothing. Not even the banks in Tel Aviv. Not even those gay hotels. I mean, I thought the Muslims were supposed to be against gays. No gay hotel in Tel Aviv. I've showed you. I mean, they have American hotels full of gays. Why aren't they ever bombed? It seems like they have a pact with Israel. We'll protect you, and you help us. Isn't this the same terrorist group, this ISIS, that cut the heart out of a dead man and ate it, took a big bite, said, this is what we do. Why don't they attack Israel? Have you ever asked that question? Why did they come all the way to America, 9/11, these 19 hijackers, and attack these targets in America? That's so complicated. That's so difficult. They're only about 1 or 2 minutes away, 1 or 2 minutes away from Tel Aviv. Why didn't they attack Tel Aviv? Well, you don't attack your partners, do you? You don't attack your pals. And that's what Jonas Alexis is saying. That's what Dr. Barrett is saying here. That's what the Jerusalem Post is saying. Now, the United States founded ISIS and is supporting ISIS, but we're also said to be bombing ISIS. But it's claimed that we never bomb them enough. We only bomb them a little bit. So they just, you know, it's like water going over a duck's back. Oh, you bombed us? Okay, so what? We'll just keep going. You know, this started to happen in Vietnam. I remember one of my associates, my pals, was a colonel. Great man, heroic man. Every day he would have missions from Thailand. He would fly and bomb North Vietnam. But he kept asking, why do I keep bombing the same targets over and over? They've already been destroyed. And the next day, we go in to have our briefing. Okay, here's your assigned targets. Well, I bombed that, you know, 2 weeks ago, last week, yesterday, 3 months ago. There's nothing there. We'll bomb it again. So he goes over and bombs the same thing again. And he gets shot at. Somehow, the communists know that we're going to send fighter jets over there again. They know there's nothing to hit, but they know those fighter jets are going to be overhead. So they put all their flak there. They put all their anti-aircraft guns. They put all their SAM missiles to shoot them down. So he's going over there to bomb nothing. And for that, he gets shot at by communist missiles. And many of his friends and my friends get shot down. Now think about that. You're an American fighting man. And every day you go over and you bomb nothing, but you risk your life every day. And every day a certain number of pilots got shot down. That meant billions of aircraft being shot down. And more victims for the Ho Chi Minh prison and more dead American pilots. It seems like they wanted us to die, to bleed. And they would not explain to any of the pilots. Friends, this is insanity. In fact, they say that insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over again and always having the same results. Now, scientists will conduct hundreds of experiments to get a different result. But if you know the same result is going to happen, you don't keep doing the same experiment over and over again. Only a crazy guy would do that. Now, Thomas Edison, who gave us, you know, everything from the sound recorder to the movie film maker to, really, the electric power system that we have. He would experiment until the experiment proved that this was not the way. Then he'd change directions. He kept different experiments. But if he got the same results, which is failure, he would change to something else. Now, in the Middle East, we're failing. We're a failure, and everybody knows it. And we started out this war because of supposedly failed intelligence. Now, we all knew that it was failed intelligence. And when they told us that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, that he could send nuclear bombs, mushroom clouds, to every city over America, I laughed about it. I spent 20 years in the Air Force. I know that he couldn't do that. But Condoleezza Rice, she's such a genius, this lesbian, she said, no, Tex Mars and thousands of military men like him, ex-Air Force types, they don't know nothing. We have to worry about Saddam Hussein. He can bomb us with nuclear weapons, even chemical, biological. They've got it all. Now, Colin Powell went to the United Nations and said, well, that's what we got to worry about. Chemical, biological, nuclear weapons. They got them all. He knew he was lying, of course. He now says that was the worst day of his life when he was forced to go to the United Nations. Why did he go? Because he's just a filthy liar. Colin Powell is just a filthy, dirty rat, a liar. Who, of course, is responsible for hundreds of thousands of dead, including many Americans. Bush knew it was a failure. They created, they concocted, they made it all up. And then they said, the intelligence failed. We're sorry. We were wrong about the intelligence. But they didn't get out of Iraq. And remember, we were told by everybody from Dick Cheney to whoever that they would have parades. They would be marches saying, thank you, Americans, for saving us from Saddam Hussein. But polls and surveys taken of Iraqis after we had won the war and we put Saddam Hussein, we put a noose around his neck and hung him, they showed that 80 to 90% of the people wanted us, America, out. Whoa, just a minute. We saved you from Saddam Hussein. No, we want you out. But George W. Bush says, we did it for democracy. We want to build nations. We're helping the Iraqis. Oh, yeah? Now, friends, here in Texas, you remember we fought for the Alamo? They didn't need a poll to tell you that the Texans did not want to be ruled by the Mexicans. We didn't need a poll. We knew the Texans wanted independence. And the Iraqis did not want to be controlled or ruled by Americans. They wanted independence. And they were better off under Saddam Hussein than the knuckleheads that are there today. So we lied about why we were there. We lied about why we stayed there. There were no parades for us. There were no big headlines saying, thank you, Americans. They didn't see us as heroes. They saw us as raping, conquering, filthy, dirty Americans. And sometimes they added Christians onto that too, because they're all Muslim. And Saddam Hussein, who had no weapons of mass destruction, claimed over and over, said, I have no weapons of mass destruction. We put a noose around his neck and hung him. We're nice guys, you see. We did it for the people. We were told they hated him. Why? He had been killing his own people. He was so disliked. If he was so disliked, why is it that when he went around the nation, he would walk around the people? He'd get down off his Jeep or his truck and just walk amongst all the people. And all the people there were shooting all their guns off. Remember that? They'd just shoot them in the sky. I guess that's sort of an Iraqi sign of, you know, like celebration, to shoot all their guns in the sky. They say every year a certain number of Iraqis got shot. You know, bullets go up, they must come down. They come down, they hit people. Sort of a crazy way to celebrate, wasn't it? In any case, Saddam Hussein needed no bodyguards. He would walk, thousands of people would gather around him, slap him on the back, shake his hands, and say, you know, Allah's great. Thank you for being our president. Bush can't even do that today. He's retired. He can't. The only place he can show up is probably one of these Texas Rangers baseball games. And then the press covers up the fact that everybody in the stands boos him. Boo! Boo! They boo him. They think he's a jerk. He can't announce that he's going to go to some restaurant and eat. They'll be there for people to boo him, people to demonstrate against him, people to demand that he be arrested and taken away. It seems that most of the American people know he's a dirty, filthy jerk, and he is. And now we have ISIS. We have torn would spread chaos to the Middle East. And I don't know if Americans are being killed or not. I think they're making most of it up. We don't know what's true and what's not. You know, it just came out, Seymour Hersh, the writer who told us the facts, who broke the big story about William Calley and the Vietnam War. Remember that? William Calley killing all those civilians. That was Seymour Hersh. Then Seymour Hersh, the writer, told us about Abu Ghraib prison. That turned out to be true also. Now he says that everything Obama told us about Osama bin Laden's a big lie. Of course it's a lie. These filthy people lie. They're liars. I told you that in my newsletter. There's no truth in them. They're just liars. They're making up all these stories so they can get young men and women to enlist and go fight and die. And if you take the bait, listen to me, my friends. If you're a young person and you're thinking about joining the Air Force or the Army or the Navy or the Marines, you got to be nuts. They're going to send you over and maybe you get killed. And you're not going to be nation building. You're not going to be bringing democracy to them. War is a racket. That's what it is today. It's a racket. They're going to lie to you. Well, you got to go over there and die in the Middle East, boy. You're dying for America, though. You're going to be a hero. No, you're not. You're going to be a jackass. You're going to be an idiot. You're going to be a donkey head. You're not a hero. You're going to go over there and you're going to be given guns and all this rocketry and everything and told you're going to kill innocent people. You're going to be a murderer. Now, I know America went crazy over this sniper guy. Bought that book in droves, American Sniper, because he killed all those people. People that wanted their own country, they wanted Americans to get out. When you're not needed, when you're not wanted, when you're lying to the people, why don't you just get out? They have their agenda. They're going to make millions off of you, young person, and you're going to die. You're going to lose limbs. You're going to lose arms, legs. You're going to be an invalid for all your life. Just because you volunteered for military service. You better check it out, friends. There is no ISIS who's an enemy. We made it all up. There was no Al-Qaeda. 9/11, there were no 19 hijackers. They're making all this up. They're a bunch of liars, skunks. Don't fall for it. We're Americans. Tell the truth. And don't listen to any of these liars. Tell the truth. Veterans Today is correct. Read these articles in veteranstoday.com. By the way, here's a newsletter article for you just last week. ISIS leader al-Baghdadi dies. Where? In a Israeli hospital. Israel put out this story. Remember, they said that there's an al-Baghdadi. He's a new leader. He's the new Osama bin Laden. The leader of ISIS. Suddenly, he's dead. See, nobody believed that al-Baghdadi even existed. They made it all up. They needed a leader. They needed someone we could hate. So they created this al-Baghdadi. Even put out a picture that here's al-Baghdadi. He's the leader of ISIS. But nobody fell for it. So they said, okay, let's retire him. So they put out the story now. Israel put out the story. ISIS leader al-Baghdadi died. Now, to make sure you believe, they said he died in an Israeli hospital. Whoa. He died in an Israeli hospital? Al-Baghdadi's dead. The second Osama bin Laden is gone. Now they're going to create a new guy. They're trying to figure out now how they can get Americans to believe in this. You need an enemy. They're going to give you another one. Al-Baghdadi's gone. Osama's gone. We'll give you a new enemy. Don't worry. Read 1984. You'll understand how they're tricking you, how they're deceiving you. Don't believe it. I'll be right back after this message. I'm Tex Sparks. Hello, friends. Tex Sparks again. You know, my good friend Edward Henry has a new book. It's called Antichrist, The Beast Revealed. Antichrist. Boy, this is a big, thick book. I don't know how many... I need to read this book again. And it was so fantastic the first time I read it. Now, Ed doesn't totally agree with me. He believes that the Antichrist is going to be the Pope. And he shows how the Pope and Vatican, Rome, has bought into all of the Jewish doctrines. Basically, the Catholic Church is Judaism. Now, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? They're working very close with the rabbis. And he proves it in this amazing book. You know that I'm convinced the Bible tells us that the synagogue of Satan is going to produce the Antichrist. He will be a Jew. But I do hold out the truth. I suspect that it might be a Jew that runs the Catholic Church. There's all kind of crypto Jews around the world. In fact, go to Hollywood, you can buy books that will give you the names of those that are Jews. Tony Randall, remember him? That wasn't his real name. He was a Jew. How about the guy that has the number one program in Comedy Central today? You know Lieberman? Oh, you don't know him? Oh, his name is Stewart. His real name is Lieberman. They're all over the place, these names. And I have no doubt that there will be a priest whose name will probably be Goldberg or Samuelson or maybe Lieberman again or Shapiro. But why do you think they anoint the new pope every time they elect one with a name from the past? You know, Pope Francis, that wasn't his real name, Francis. He took that name for himself. Just like all the Jews do. You know, Netanyahu's not really named Netanyahu. Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, is really not named Peres. All of the Jews that run Israel, they all have names that are Polish, believe it or not. So I have no doubt at all that he will be a Jew. But he'll be the Pope. Don't get it mixed up. Now, what I'm trying to tell you something here, very vital. Edward Henry, my good friend, and I tell you what a researcher he is. Edward Henry worked for the FBI. He worked for the Drug Enforcement Administration. He's now with the State Department. And he writes these books. And I'll tell you, they're probably trying to figure out a way to fire the guy, to get rid of him. He writes amazing books. He shows exactly the Judaic policies of the Pope of Rome. Remember this, friends. The Pope of Rome can be of any nationality. When I was a young man, the Pope was Italian. And then they elected a Pope from Poland. And now they have one from Argentina. The one right from before him was from Germany. The Pope can be of any nationality. I believe the Pope will be a Jew. So when somebody says, I don't believe the Pope is going to be a Jew, I believe he will be Catholic. You have to understand, Catholics have all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. There are Roman Catholics and American Catholics and Mexican Catholics and Canadian Catholics and German Catholics and Russian Catholics. It doesn't tell you anything for you to say he's going to be a Catholic. I know that. But he will also be a Jew. The Bible tells me that. So I believe that Edward Henry is correct. Now, Judaism is the most evil religion in the world. The Jews and Israel are claimed to be, or not claimed, it's true. God gave them a name for the last days. Revelation 11 says, they shall be named Sodom and Egypt. That's like a code from God telling you how vicious and evil the Jews of the book of Revelation are. They're led by a demon from the pit of hell named Abaddon. You read about it in the book of Revelation. And they're the synagogue of Satan. Is the Roman Church of Catholicism the same as the synagogue of Satan? Yes, it is. That's the amazing discovery here. Behold, the man who rides the white horse symbolically, he will be a Jew. He will be of the synagogue of Satan. And he will come out of the Roman Catholic Church. Isn't that an amazing statement? This is amazing. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17. Who is Mystery Babylon? Who is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? This is the most astonishing book. It's around 700 pages. It's got all the footnotes and references in the back of the book. He talks about who the Antichrist is, who the false prophet is, who Mystery Babylon is. And you find amazing things. You find out that the Antichrist is going to be a pedophile. Oh, yeah. You know, it says the book of Daniel that he does not regard the desires of women. Oh, that's what it says. He has no regard for the desires of women. And he doesn't believe in the Bible. The Catholic Church knocks the Bible all the time. They say Protestants believe in the Bible. We have traditions. Isn't it the Jews that have traditions? The traditions of the elders? Well, the Catholics have traditions too. That's what they believe in. The traditions of their elders. I mean, think about it, folks. The Roman Catholic Church is the very same as Judaism. And someday the rabbis and the priests will all come together as one. They're meeting right now. They're meeting secretly. They're meeting openly. The rabbis and the priest. They're all one. And this Pope, Pope Francis, says the Jews are our elder brothers. That's what the Catholic Catechism says. And the Jews, the root of Jesus is the Jews. Oh, I thought they were cut off from the root. Oh, no, no. He says, their covenant is still valid. Their covenant is still valid? Well, the Bible tells me Jesus is the new covenant, a better and new covenant. He's replaced the old covenant. That's not what the Pope says. Pope says Jesus is a liar. You've got to have this book, Antichrist, the Beast Revealed. Is the Pope Catholic? Well, yes. Could he be a Jew? Yes. Could he be a Catholic Jew? Now you're thinking. Now you're straight. This is an astonishing book, Antichrist, the Beast Revealed. There's never been a book like it. Edward Henry, $35. It's a big book. It's three times as big as most books. Order it today from powerofprophecy.com, our website, powerofprophecy.com, or textmars.com, or you can phone us toll-free here, 1-800-234-9673. $35, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $40. Write to us, too. Send us a note, say, give me that book, The Antichrist, by Hendry, or say, give me the Antichrist book. We'll send it to you. Antichrist, the Beast Revealed. Our address here is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program. We're revealing secrets today. Did you know Mike Huckabee is going to run for president again? Oh, yes. Now, did you hear about this incident where two supposedly Americans who were ISIS agents went to Garland, Texas to kill people, but they were shot themselves? It seems that this woman named Pam Galar, who's an Israeli agent, who's funded by the Israelis, and she's an absolute nut. She really is. Pam Galar is an absolute nut. She sponsored this cartoon contest for Mohammed. Anybody that wants to come and draw a cartoon of Mohammed, she wants to give him a $10,000 prize. Now, that's against the Muslim law. And remember, Charlie Hebdo, the magazine over in Paris, that's what they did. Columnists who would draw these filthy sex cartoons of Muhammad. So it's no wonder that the Muslims came in and shot several of them. And they said, free speech. These guys had the right to publish cartoons of Muhammad showing him in all these sexual positions. Now, Jalar is a Christian hater as well. And believe me, she has no problem with cartoons of Jesus, too. Someday she'll probably sponsor, give $10,000 to anyone who will do a blasphemous cartoon of Jesus, showing him in sexual positions. That's how demented she is. Well, it seems that Bill O'Reilly of Fox News and Greta Van Susteren of Fox News Network criticized Pam Galar, said she's just stirring up trouble. But Pam Galar said it's free speech. Yes, free speech, all right. You're an idiot. Hey, there's a lot of things that are correct. I mean, that you can do that are free speech. I can say all kinds of things here on the air. I can make up the biggest of lies. I can tell things that are just absolute myths, fiction. But why do I do it? It's bizarre. It's evil. I don't want to do that. I want to tell you the truth. Mike Huckabee says Pam Galar has a right to tell the truth. Well, she didn't tell the truth. How do cartoons of Muhammad, how can they become the truth? Mike Huckabee says that if you criticize Pam Galar's cartoon contest, you're the bad guy. Of course, Mike Huckabee is given money by the Jews. He goes to Israel at least twice a year. Mike Huckabee is a Judaizer. He's another Jewish idiot. He's in bed, you know, not exactly philosophically with Pam Galar.
Boy.
He says they have a right to do these things.
Sure they have a right. You have a right to do anything. You have a right to drink a little bit of poison every day until you die. But why do you want to do that? You're an idiot.
Hey, here's an article from American Free Press. I want to tell you about it. New World Order seeking control of Earth's water. And I've been telling you this a long time. On October 29th, in the journal Nature, Climate Change has revealed the New World Order's new target in its quest for world rule, control the water and underground aquifers around the globe. The underground aquifers are what gives you and I drinking water and supports half the world's agriculture to boot. And I've told you, that's their plan. Control the water, you control people. And by the way, my book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, showed that if you control food, you can control people. People can't exist without food and water.
Well,
that's what the United Nations knows, too. That's what the climate change people, that's why there are the environmentalists, that's why they want to control our water. That's why they're claiming there's so-called global warming. You and I know it's nonsense, but watch out for it. They're going to keep pushing it. It's going to put billions of dollars in the pockets of the people on Wall Street. Remember that. When a big shot like Bill Gates or Zuckerman of Facebook, when they get up on TV and say, we've got to stop global warming, think of it, folks. Have these dollar signs in your mind. They're talking about, I want more billions. Give me more billions. This is how they conquer. They create problems. They create crises, and they have the solutions already. Yeah, we know how to do it. Yeah, we can start a world government. In fact, I've got an article here about Bill Gates. It seems that Bill Gates recently gave a speech on global warming. He's given many. He said, we've got to have a world government. We've got to have world government in order to stop global warming. That's it. They got to have world government. The American sovereignty is no good. We can't just have a president, a Supreme Court, and a Congress. We've got to have a world government to control it. Why do you need world government? Because they got to stop global warming. Don't you get it? You got to give up all your freedom. They're going to stop global warming. Bill Gates, whose best effort was he created a software program, now knows how to change the world. He knows how to save the world, doesn't he? All he knows is software, folks. He knows binary numbers. No software engineer knows how to save the world. The Bible tells you how to save the world, but the idiots of the world have their own plans. Don't believe them. Don't get sucked in. Laugh at them. Ridicule them. That's the best route. Now, it seems that in New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio has a problem. You see, ultra-Orthodox Jews there still give circumcision rituals. They say they have religious freedom to give circumcision to little babies. But it seems that many of these Orthodox Jewish rabbis have herpes. Recently, there was 17 cases of herpes in babies. Two babies are dead. Two others suffered brain damage. And the Jewish rabbis say, well, we gotta do this because the Talmud says that we're to do this. Now, how does a circumcision ritual? They're cutting off. If you got kids, please take them out of the room. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be nasty or anything. Do you know how they circumcise? They don't do it with a knife. They don't do it at a hospital. They do it at a party, a brie party. Brie means foreskin. They bring in the Jewish rabbi, and what he does is he swishes some alcoholic drink in his mouth or wine in his mouth, and then he puts the little boy's organ, his genitals, in his mouth.
and then he clips away at the little foreskin with his teeth. That's how they do these circumcisions. And the only anesthetic they use is the whiskey or wine or whatever that he washes to his mouth. And if he has herpes or AIDS or whatever, he'll give it to the kid. 3,000 babies just in New York alone are circumcised each year. And the mayor, Bill de Blasio, is negotiating with the rabbis on what they're going to do about this. I can already tell you what they're going to do about it. They're going to keep circumcising. Now, in Germany, they just recently ruled that they couldn't circumcise anymore. They made circumcision illegal. They said it's torture. It's evil. Boy, the rabbis are angry against the German government. In America, in every city, they're circumcising. Call up a hospital, say, do you have circumcisions there? They'll probably lie to you. Or maybe they'll tell you the truth, because most circumcisions are done in apartments, in homes. And they have brie party. The parents and others, they all sit around, stand around, they all drink, they eat, and they celebrate as a rabbi puts the little baby's penis in his mouth and clips away with his teeth. I tell you, this is a sick thing. Circumcision is not of the flesh, it's of the heart. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to be circumcised. That is stupid. Now, I know many of you were circumcised, because when I was a kid, it seemed like 9 out of 10 young boys were circumcised, Gentiles. I don't know who told them it was a good thing, but it wasn't. If you've been circumcised, well, that's just too bad. It's too late now to get it back. But don't circumcise your kid. Well, it seems like Russia's got a problem today, because Putin is not getting along with the Jews. They're very angry at him. Now, Russia was the place where the greatest Jewish monstrosities of all time took place in 1917 up to about 1984. Let me tell you what happened there. Let me read to you from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He said, quote, "You must understand, the leading Bolsheviks who took over Russia in 1917 were not Russians. They hated Russians. They hated Christians." Did you get that, folks? A man's going to take over the Vatican someday. He's going to take over the Vatican, and you're going to think he's, well, he might be German or American or Canadian. No, no, he's going to be a Jew, a secret Jew, a crypto Jew. And he's going to hate Christians. Well, he's head of the Catholic, the Christian church worldwide. Oh, no, no, no. Solzhenitsyn says, driven by ethnic hatred, they tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. They're psychopaths, you see. Driven by ethnic hatred, they hate every race but their own. The Jews tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. It cannot be overstated, writes Solzhenitsyn. Bolshevism committed the greatest human slaughter of all time. The fact that most of the world is ignorant and uncaring about this enormous crime is proof that the global media is in the hands of the perpetrators. I bet 9 out of 10 of you did not know that it was Jews in Russia. The Jews hated Russians. They hated Christians. They hated all people of all races except their own. And they are the ones who tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians, and they had not a shred of human remorse. The greatest human slaughter of all time was not the Holocaust of Nazi Germany. It was what happened in Russia. And that's the one that the neocons of America want to produce on us. Do you get it, folks? That's why they and the American government are secretly funding ISIS. I don't know. I doubt very seriously that they're cutting off the heads of Christians in Iraq today. ISIS, that is. But I know they hate the Christians enough to do that. In fact, it's beheading or cutting off our heads that God warned us about would occur, isn't it? Think about that. In the last days. Well, let me tell you why it's going to happen. You see, recently I heard about Dr. Doom. Who is Dr. Doom? Well, it seems that Dr. Doom is a professor from the University of Texas, and his real name is Dr. Pianca. Dr. Pianca is a very popular professor there. But he's called Dr. Doom because he thinks we need to kill off most of the people on Earth. Now, recently, Forrest Mims III, he reports a lot on scientific meetings and such. He went to a meeting at the Lamar University in Beaumont to hear this guy speak. This Dr. Doom, this Dr. Pianca. Now, here's what he said about the meeting. He said Professor Pianca began his speech by explaining the general public is not ready to hear what he was about to tell us, but he's going to tell us anyway. Now, Pianca told the people that were there at the meeting, he said, people are no better than bacteria. Get that, folks? Pianca then began laying out his concerns about how human overpopulation is ruining the earth. He presented a doomsday scenario in which he claimed the increase in human population is devastating the planet. And he said quick steps must be taken to restore planet Earth before it's too late. Now, we've heard it before from all the climate change, environmentalists, the liberal wackos and retards. Pianca, this professor at the University of Texas, here's the point. We've got to kill people. We've got to start killing them. Now imagine, in America, a guy getting up at a public meeting in Beaumont, Texas. It was the 109th meeting of the Texas Academy of Science. He's a scientist, Dr. Pianca is, at the prestigious university where I taught for 5 years, the University of Texas. And Dr. Pianca says, we got to start killing people because we got billions to kill. We got to get busy at it. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he basically said. Because people are no better than bacteria. And who likes bacteria? We got to kill at least 90% of all the people on Earth. Then he suggested solutions. He said war and famine will not do. It's not enough. Starving people to death or killing by war, you don't get enough of them. You got to do more than that. He says disease is the most efficient and fast way. You can kill billions with disease. You got to have fast, like airborne Ebola. That's lethal. It kills in days. Professor Pianca, says Mr. Mims, did not mention that Ebola victims die a slow and torturous death. Think about that. A slow and torturous death. How would you like to die of Ebola? And eventually it liquefies your internal organs and kills you. Torturous death. But Dr. Pianca praised the Ebola virus. Says he paused, looked over the lectern, and said, we've got a 90% airborne mortality, killing humans. Think about that. He got excited, didn't he? Think about that, he says. 90% mortality. Wow. Now, that's a good killer. Friends, this is what Dr. Pianca teaches in his classroom. He's teaching generations of students. He's winning all kinds of awards by telling them, we got to go out there and kill. We got to massacre people. Now, Solzhenitsyn says they kill 66 million people in Russia. That's not enough. That was about a third of the population. We got to kill 90%. How soon must the mass dying begin? Fairly soon, says Pianca. We got to get with it. Got to die. They got to die. Now, he was asked, what kind of reception has your message received? He said, I don't speak for everyone. I only speak to the converted. Ah, yes. He speaks to the converted. The people that believe like he does, the elite of this world. Oh, the smart ones, the ones who come out of Harvard and Princeton and Yale and the University of Texas and Southern California and Berkeley and on, those are the ones he speaks for. He spoke glowingly of the police state in China for his one-child policy. One of the students was asked after the meeting what he thought about Pianca. He said, I worship Dr. Pianca. I worship Dr. Pianca. Folks, I'm telling you, this is it. They want to kill us. They will kill you and think they do God service. Isn't that what Jesus said? He told the truth. He always told the truth. You can believe everything Jesus said. Pilate knew he told the truth. Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. See to it yourself. See to it yourself. Now, Dr. Pianca, he's worshipped by his students who hear him telling them that we must kill 90%. How are they supposed to care about people? How are they supposed to give the love of Jesus Christ from their hearts when they're thinking about murdering you? Meanwhile, the New York Times has a plan. You know what's causing most of the world's problem? The Bible. I mean, the lesbian and the gay community and the transgenders say there's only one thing to do, rewrite the Bible. Well, this was in the New York Times. New York Times columnist Frank Bruni says, just rewrite the Bible. Christians are against same-sex marriage. Why are they against it? Because of their Bible. So change the Bible. Write good things about the homosexuals. They'll love them. Just change what their views. That's no problem. The New York Times says just change the Bible. Make it favorable to gays. You know, I got a new Bible version now. It's the Common English Version. They gave me a free one. They said, this is for the kids, for young people. And I read it all the way through. There was one thing missing, the word Jews. It's not in there. Who crucified Jesus? I don't know. The word Jews are not in there. They got rid of the word Jews. Now the Jews are not responsible for anything. Unbelievable. Change the Bible. You can change their minds. That's the problem, the Bible. The New York Times says so. You must believe the New York Times. Don't you believe the New York Times? If you don't, well, you're a monster. You've got to believe the New York Times. Don't believe the Bible. Well, we're going to change the Bible. They've already changed it. They've already taken the word Jews out of the Bible. And they've got thousands of translations now. They got one for every kind of people. I'm not talking about the King James Bible. You can believe it. Make sure you've got a real Bible, an authentic Bible, friends, the King James. Well, here's another one. 34,000 churches, mostly black churches, in Africa and elsewhere, have taken a stand. They've broken ties with the Presbyterian Church in the USA. Now, their president, Reverend Tony Evans, said, our membership is standing on the Word of God. The Presbyterian Church USA was a member of our group, but they're preaching a false gospel. They brought another Jesus. They've approved same-sex marriage, and that's wrong. Well, thank God for this group. Thank God. It's a group of 34,000 churches that are standing up for the truth. Meanwhile, John Howard, former prime minister of Australia, has been accused of war crimes before the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now, there is an International Criminal Court in The Hague, but usually they only prosecute people that are politically incorrect. What's going to happen to this complaint against John Howard? Nothing. They'd have to go against Dick Cheney and George W. Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair of England. They're all criminals. Well, Rand Paul says he's got a new social media director. You know, guy who takes care of all these social media opportunities like Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. Turns out the guy used to work for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. I was reading about it. The guy says, I am here. I have this job. I'm Senator Rand Paul's social media director because I want to help Israel. Huh? I thought he was going to say, I want to help Rand Paul be elected. He's being paid a salary by Rand Paul so he can help Israel. Well, I'll tell you, Rand Paul has to grovel, doesn't he? He has to get on his knees and beg the Jews, please, please let the people vote for me. Don't let what happened to my dad, Ron Paul, happen to me. Please let him vote for me. That's true. And now he got a guy who's in charge of all of his social media who says, I am a Zionist Jew. I love to help Israel. That's why I've got this job. Boy, poor Rand Paul. I feel sorry for him, don't you? You know, he's not a bad guy. He doesn't really want to kiss up to the Jews, but he has to. They all do. Ted Cruz knows it. Boy, he's right in line with it. Jeb Bush knows it. Mike Huckabee knows it. They all know it. Of course, Hillary Clinton, she knows it too. That's right. Whatever is good for Israel is good for the United States. Well, the last item I have here is quite interesting. Seems that Vladimir Putin is hated because one reason, he just signed a law banning abortion ads in Russia. Did you get that? He has banned abortion ads. The Duma, the Russian parliament, approved it. Putin says, we don't need all these abortions. We need new babies. We need people. He banned abortion ads. You can't advertise for abortions in Russia. Wow. All right, friends. Those are the secrets for today. It's been great being with you. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.